Welcome to our final consideration in this practice of deep listening, and I want to thank you for your participation thus far. When we listen, I follow a few simple requirements: to come into the moment as openly as possible, to bring the oral sense to focus by slowing down, to pay heed to what my awareness apprehends, to suspend any expectations or preferences, to notice what emotional or physical responses arise, and to sustain listening as long as is possible or natural. No promises come with deeply listening. I don't automatically become smarter or happier because my ears hang out with the cricket sounds chirping from my backyard. Developing my powers of focus consistently has a cumulative effect over time and can spill over into other areas of my life. How well I am listening or inhabiting a moment isn't all that detectable in many contexts. I can appear to be present in a conversation with a friend when, in fact, my head may have traveled back in time to an unresolved exchange with an irritated cashier. All of us get sloppy when it comes to concentration and communication, but we don't have to be sneaky about it. When my son is talking to me about repairing his bike and I wander off into thoughts about fixing my recording gear, I can quietly acknowledge my lapse without berating myself. I can gently guide my attention back to the younger person in front of me. I listen mindfully the more I catch moments when my single-mindedness has split off and veered down some memory lane or speculative pathway. Gary has left the moment. Ideally, I correct myself diligently and deliberately. Sometimes it takes a bit more effort to entice my attention back to the speaker. She may have been oblivious to my mental diversion and simply continued to share how much she enjoyed watching some popular movie for the 17th time. It's really a point of honesty on my part to get connected again. I'm not a social scientist, and I can't say for sure that the ubiquitous presence of a wired world has negatively impacted everyone's ability to be present and listen well. It's more likely that the ability to connect and communicate while multitasking with various forms of technology varies from person to person. My friend Yuri works as a sound engineer. He can edit a soundtrack for a major film and simultaneously retain the grocery list his wife is dictating over the phone. It's just some people have a great knack for juggling conversational details in the kitchen while pecking away on a laptop that is pumping out dub music. Some people can text a friend while concurrently ordering sushi at the restaurant. I'm not that guy. It often feels like my life has become overly inundated by technology. I also seem to be increasingly taking part in virtual relationships and interchanges. Many of the conversations that comprise my day are not face-to-face. In conference calls or cell phone exchanges, the content of communication appears to be shrinking to a text style of exchange with mere bits and bytes. Pauses shrink, speed picks up, body language disappears. Mindful listening can be an antidote to our speedy exchanges, such as answering a call from a colleague as we dash out the door and ask somebody in the family to please pick up pizza for dinner. Mindful listening says, rather than surf, skim, or scan in this moment, I choose to go slow. To pull this off, I have to trade superficial exchanges for substantial ones and eliminate or limit sidebar distractions. Why would I do this? Why listen merely out of social requirement or to display good manners? Rather, as an intention, I want to listen so as to be affected by someone or something. In this vulnerable state, I don't want to use speed or technological diversion as a defense against intimacy. Listening, by definition, lets the word and the world in.